This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Doctors Hospital, Dunkin' Donuts, the Fincastle Media Group, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-416. That's 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So we talked about the aircraft monies allocated in the budget, some $2.5 million. There was no details forthcoming about it when the request was made by the opposition in the House of Assembly during the budget debate. The Minister of State in the office of the Prime Minister simply indicated that now I thought I could be dead wrong, but I thought I heard it was to acquire an aircraft for the purpose of transporting government officials throughout the Family Islands. That's what I thought I heard. I didn't hear, I know, and somebody tell me if you heard differently. I know I did not hear, no, this is monies allocated for the refurbishment of an aircraft that had been confiscated and that would be used for the purpose of transporting senior government officials and other technical teams throughout the Family Islands. I didn't hear that explanation. I heard the details would follow. That's what I heard listening to the House of Assembly. Again, it was the one time I heard, I could have misheard what was said. Now we are being told, because it was volunteered to be told, now we're being told, in light of dribbles and drabbles coming out, someone actually called Dwight Stronshow. I heard them and said, no, man, this aircraft is already there and it's going to be refurbished. Like someone had some inside information about what was happening. And then now the Prime Minister's office is confirming that a confiscated aircraft is going to be refurbished to the tune of $2.5 million to be used by the government for the purpose which we were told it would be used for, which is to transport government officials throughout the island, the country. Now that's interesting. It does put a different twist on it, and surely it is a less cumbersome issue that, oh, this is an aircraft that was confiscated from the proceeds of crime. I assume from the proceeds of crime. And therefore, okay, you didn't buy, you're not buying a brand new thing. And it's there, you seized it. And so maybe it makes sense to make good use of it. Right. But again, here again, there are still some things that require some clarification. Right. So, firstly, if this aircraft, firstly, again, it comes out not by virtue of. Not by virtue of firstly, this is coming out because again, people are making inquiries based on dribbles and drabbles they're hearing. I mean, honestly, the government of the Bahamas must understand, must appreciate how it looks that it cannot offer voluntarily more fulsome information to the public about what it is doing on the public's behalf. I honestly have to tell you, I've been in government. I spent years in government. I am baffled by what I am observing. I really am. I'm baffled why this is happening. Why you go through a budget debate, you don't offer this information. Like, it isn't even scary information to the public, and then you're now catching up on a story. I'm baffled about it. I really am. I have to tell you, I don't understand it at all. Secondly, now I don't know what the details are. I don't know. I'm just saying. We have a Proceeds of Crime Act. And that Proceeds of Crime Act establishes the rules for handling the proceeds of crime, meaning that proceeds of crime can be seized, can be frozen, can be forfeited, can be confiscated, okay? All in accordance with the laws of the Bahamas. Now, insofar as the confiscated assets are concerned, like monies or vehicles or property or that kind of thing, the law establishes what should happen in respect of that. And that law is the Proceeds of Crime Act 2018. And unless it's been amended and I don't know, or repealed and I don't know. And in part 9 of that act, under confiscated assets, it establishes a fund. And here's what it says about what is to be done with that fund. This 2018 Act was replacing the repealed former Act, and so therefore there was a saving provision in this Act that said continuation of confiscated assets fund. So the Bahamas has a fund established especially for the depositing into of proceeds of crime that have been confiscated. And it says the fund known and existing as the Confiscated Assets Fund, established under Section 52 of the Proceeds of Crime Act, Chapter 93, is hereby preserved and continues in existence as the Confiscated Assets Fund. Purpose of this act says the Minister of Finance may make regulations for the implementation of the provisions of this part, including the deposit and investment of any funds, that's cash or assets, that's anything, property, anything, received by the Assets Fund under the provision of the Financial Administration and Audit Act number 26 of 2010. And the distribution of any funds deposited into the Confiscated Assets Fund. So the minister may make regulations concerning that. Regulations, not personal rules, but regulations, right? So regulations have to be approved by Parliament and laid before Parliament. Says payments into and out of the fund. These are the rules. There shall be credited to the Confiscated Assets Fund, hereinafter referred to as the fund, all monies derived from the fulfillment of confiscation between recovery, extend, etc. Because you have to go through a set of formal procedures in order to confiscate somebody's assets. So you can deposit any monies, any cash sums made subject to a forfeiture order. So any confiscated money, any forfeited money, any sums of money allocated from time to time to the fund by Parliament, any voluntary payment, grant, or gift caught by the act made by any person for the purposes of the fund, any voluntary payment, grant or so forth, any income derived from the investment of any amounts that are credited to the fund, and any sharing of confiscated, forfeited property and funds received from other states. So if the Bahamas and the United States did some joint undertaking and it yielded some forfeited or confiscated proceeds, then and they split that, then that portion that comes to the Bahamas would go into the Confiscated Asset Fund. Now, it also makes provision for the establishment of the Confiscated Assets Committee, right? And that committee is authorized to do payments out of the fund to who? Listen to whom. So what are payments out of the fund to do? This is the law. Compensate victims who suffer losses as a result of offenses, criminal conduct, or an identified risk. Two, pay expenses relating to the recovery, management, disposition of property under the provisions of this act, including mortgages, liens against relevant property, etc. Share recovered property with foreign jurisdictions. Pay third parties for interest in property as appropriate. Enable the appropriate agencies to continue to address serious offenses and terrorism. Assist in the rehabilitation of drug users, public education regarding the dangers of drug abuse, and pay the costs associated with administration of the fund, including the cost of external audit. That's what the monies could be used for. You cannot use, I heard somebody ask during Dwight's show, what happens to the money? All confiscated monies under the Proceeds of Crime Act and forfeited money, all that money goes into the fund. And that money can only be used for matters related to fighting crime, right? Compensating victims, trying to rehabilitate drug users, et cetera. You cannot take that money and pay somebody in the government or buy something for the government that has nothing to do with fighting crime. That's not the intent of the Confiscated Assets Fund. Now, I searched for... So who makes up the Confiscated Assets Committee? The committee consists of the Minister of Finance, who is the chairperson of the committee, the Minister responsible for national security, the Minister responsible for the Proceeds of Crime Act, the Commissioner of Police, the Director of Public Prosecution, and such other designated by the Minister of Finance. Okay, so that's the committee that determines, okay, well, what's going to happen with these confiscated stuff. So let's say the plane was confiscated under the Seize of Crime Act, following all the formal and appropriate procedures. This committee would have to determine, okay, we are going to allocate that plane for this purpose. And so, yeah, it could decide, the government, the committee could decide, give the plane to the government. So the government could use it to fly its offices up and down. It could do that. Technically, from my reading of the thing, it could do that. It could do that. See? Because its functions are to advise the Minister of Finance in connection with this. So there's an only advisory role. Don't tell the minister what to do. It's the only advisory. On all aspects of international asset sharing, all aspects of confiscation and forfeiture of property, inclusive of the transfer of confiscated or forfeited property to the fund, the rendering of financial assistance, the rendering of financial assistance to any other institution or victims, policy adopt. Okay, so, you know, that's what it does. So can the government use the plane confiscated under the Proceeds of Crime Act for the purposes that it is determining, if the committee chaired by the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance so advises, and the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance so determines, sure, that could happen. That could happen, okay? So there you have it. What's the problem now? You could argue whether you should use the plane for that purpose. You could argue that. The only problem is you didn't say anything. Even people had the tooth had to be pulled in order to get it out. And I just don't understand why that happens. I really don't. Is it just an oversight? Is it that somebody's are not just not paying attention? They're just not sufficiently sensitive to these matters? Is it that people are trying to be secretive? But how would you try to be secretive if the matter is in the budget and the budget is subject to review, especially by your opponents? So, you know, what's the reason? Is it that you didn't think this was a matter worthy of mentioning? I really honestly don't know. And it tends to get in the way. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Alang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
For a breakfast that will wake up your taste buds and kickstart your day? Well, Burger King NASA has got you covered with the new Angry Crust Sandwich. Made with fluffy eggs, melted cheese, jalapenos, a spicy sauce, and your choice of ham, sausage, or bacon on a warm croissant. Make it a combo and add our signature hash browns and your choice of coffee, tea, or orange juice for a great way to start your day. Spice up your breakfast with the new Angry Crust Sandwich combo only at Burger King NASA.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
The best athletes in the Bahamas will be on display at the B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships, June 26 to 28 at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. Stephen Gardner, Devin Charlton, Shawnee Miller-Weibo, and so many more. The juniors are vying for the opportunity to represent the Bahamas at the World Under-20 Championships, and the seniors are gunning to qualify for the Paris Olympic Games, which are fast approaching, and our athletes are looking to get on the road to Paris. The meet gets underway at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, June 26th, and Thursday, June 27th, and at 5 p.m. on Friday, June 28th. Gates open at 3 p.m. daily, and tickets can be purchased for as low as $20 at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships, June 26th to 28th at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. You don't want to miss this one.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4516. You can call us from the Family Islands on 327 on 242-302-5720. You can text us on 422-479-6, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here says, you answered my question on requirement to auction off seized assets. Let's wait and see if they pass a bill at the next sitting that says seized assets can be repurposed for government use. They don't have to pass a bill for that at all. Okay, there's nothing new that needs to be done. The committee can do that right now. Let me tell you why. Because in the Act, Section 93, subsection H, where it talks about what the functions of the committee are, it says that this committee can allocate property and monies from the fund to any institution, organization, or fund contemplated. That the committee can allocate means give to the property or money. So property is not an aircraft or property from the fund to any institution. Is not the government an institution? Organization is not the government organization. So there's no need to pass a new law in order to have the government use this aircraft, as far as my reading of the law is concerned, right? This text says, but the access, the proceeds are to address rectification of the original crime in some way. No, that's not what the act says. The act spirit is that the forfeited or confiscated assets should be used for crime fighting purposes. That's true, right? Things in relation to that. However, the committee has powers given to it under the law. And among those powers, it says the allocation of property and monies from the fund to any institution, organization, or fund contemplated. So there you have it, right? This says, good day, Lang. In other words, they shouldn't be using the $2.5 million to fly persons around. Well, if you gathered that from what I have said, I have been absolutely unclear, or you misunderstood what I said. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Good, man. Thank you.
Mr. Lang, probably maybe about 10 years ago, I had asked about this. The amount of monies that were confiscated at one point in time, I think the police had confiscated like $1 million.
Yeah, at one time, I think the fund had reached up to $2.5 million when I was in government.
Okay. My question is, who's responsible for auditing this fund? And
the auditor general is responsible, and the minister of finance, the section 96 of the law says annual report and audit. The minister of finance shall cause a report by the auditor general to be laid before parliament not later than 9 months from the end of the financial year, detailing the amounts credited to the fund, the investments made with the amounts credited to the fund, and the payments made from the fund, including specific purpose for which payments were made and to whom.
Mr. Lang, was that ever done?
I don't know, but you'd
have to ask. I have never heard anything of that matter.
Have you read all the Auditor General's reports?
No, but it should have been tabled in Parliament, right?
Yeah, but just because you don't know doesn't mean it didn't happen. You would have it could be in the Auditor General's report. Nobody picked it up or decided to bring it to your attention, but it could very well be in the Auditor General's report.
Well, I mean, can you Google it?
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be.
Yeah, I mean, can you find out for us and let us know when was the last, when was or was there ever time that this fund was audited and reports presented and tabled or whatever? Can you find that out for us? Because I really would like to know. I had asked one McCartney at one point in time and asked somebody else to, you know, because you hear all of this money that I understand that the commissioner of police has access to this fund, and he uses as an incentive for his police officers and all kind of things. You hear all kind of stuff.
But then here again, though, if you had to have been listening to me to know that any use of funds from the a confiscated assets fund is under the direction of the Minister of Finance.
I understand that, you know. But
I mean, that matters to how you're saying what you're saying. That means that the commission is doing what he's doing.
When these things are not reported on a regular basis, it leads to speculation. Okay? It leads to people speculating as to really what is going on with all of this money that is being confiscated.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You have to speculate because you don't have a report. That's for sure.
We don't have any information as to, okay, like how you just read, you know, a report, just like you say, but the constituency report that is supposed to be submitted to the Ministry of Finance, that only on paper. Can the Ministry of Finance show us today, produce a write-up in the newspaper? This is a report from each member of parliament of an accounting of the funds that they receive and how the money was spent. Isn't that what the law say? And that's why we have so much problem in this country today, because we have all of these laws and the government refuses to carry. And I'm not saying that it was not done, but I have never heard any report about this fund and how much is in the fund, how the money was used, because I thought, you know, the money would have been used, like it was said, for crime fighting purposes and whatnot, and to assist and what. But let the people know what is going on, you know. I mean, like, and like you said yesterday, like when the government makes these things and they don't pan out, they don't come back and say, well, okay, we said this, but this didn't happen because, so, you know, we are grown up, okay? Whatever you say, it already happened. Like when the Prime Minister went to that coronation king, I keep saying, and he said, okay, the Chinese XM Bank has more or less advances $1 billion. We don't want to add it to the national debt, so we're going to draw down on it. We're going to draw down $250 million, and we're forming this partnership with this UK firm to build the airport in Freeport, right? That was said. This almost two years later, and he never came back to say, the airport isn't moving. Nothing was said, no explanation, you know. So, you know, when you put these things out there, some people are listening and they are holding you to what you say. You have to be accountable, man. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thanks for calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Shibago?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Let me start off by saying I'm happy that you would have read the part of the act that identifies that the committee does have the authority to direct use of confiscated items. I think that was very critical. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, man.
Yeah, I before you got to that point, when you was reading what the act sets out to do, I pulled up the act as well, and I was looking to see wherein, because I know that all acts are surmised in some way or form, granting the minister or the responsible head some level of authority as it relates to whatever the act is speaking to. And so I didn't expect that this act would be any different. But I'm happy that you acknowledge that in your reading for the persons who are listening, because clearly some persons already were of the misconstrued view that the government didn't have the authority, right? What I really call in for though is to say to persons in the government that I know. Can you hear me clearly, Shivago?
Yeah, man. I'm listening to you. Okay. I can hear you. Yeah.
I call to say that to persons in the government that I know and I understand, I also recognize where the balance of powers lie, right? Between the years 2021, September 16th, to 2026, whenever the Prime Minister makes the pronouncement for election with the Governor General's support, right? But I also understand that the opposition, the opposition of today, while in government, was not responsive to the tune that is being seek to hold the current administration to. But beyond that, and I'm speaking to the persons in the government of the day side, beyond that, I also understand, more importantly, that the people of today are not of the same mindset of the people of the time frame when the last FNM government served as government. And by that I mean specifically on matters that the opposition raised, that the people feel entitled to, or the people feel empowered by. I recognize that the people will raise hell, unlike the behemoth people of the time frame between 2017 to 2021, who were a bit more passive.
But Anton, you know, I hear that point a lot, right? And it's a valid point you make about maybe what was the situation under the other regime, et cetera. You know what I always think when I hear people make that point, though? I think, but they're not following up with this point. That administration lost office, though.
Right.
So in other words, whatever hell...
I haven't gotten to the end yet, though, Chicago.
No, but whatever hell people didn't raise or not, they get kicked out.
I agree. I understand, and I agree completely. I agree completely with what you're saying, which is in line with the point that I want to end on, right? As it relates to what I'm saying to the government, right? And so getting to that, let me just jump to that, Chivago, right? Because I made some notes as you were on the break so that I could just blow through it. I also recognize, Chivago, that the behemoth people are developing the mindset that there's a haughtiness, right? That there's a haughty behavior lying within the government and as it relates to accounting to the opposition, ultimately to the media and the people, based on some of the responses, especially as of late, right? And that feeling of haughtiness by the behemoth people could derail all of the good that is being done or being settled to be done by the government. It can overshadow it, and it can minimize it in the minds of the people if the feeling of the haughty behavior continues in the minds of the behemoth people. So I want to end by cautioning the government to take a step back and to review its approach, its responses, and its stance that it is taking towards the spending of the monies of the Bahamian people in response to questions, or certain questions, especially from the opposition, because ultimately the day of election will come, and we don't want that hanging over our heads. Thank you for the opportunity.
Anton, before you go.
Yeah.
That's a valid point you raise for sure, right? But here's what I would like you to help me with, because a lot of times you have an internal perspective on things.
Right.
See, that it's one thing to be haughty, right? But what explains that you have $2.5 million allocated for this purpose, but you go through an entire debate, but you don't say something? Like, how do you what do you think is happening there?
Well, Chivago, I don't think to my mind, and I'm happy you asked that question, because that's a question that I had one or two conversations on, but more importantly, that I gave personal consideration to understanding the persons who are serving, right? I don't think that was put in there, or I don't think it was unaddressed in a deliberate format to raise negative questions or negative concerns. I believe that it was something that was taken for granted, Chivago. That eager and keen eyes on the opposition side picked up on, right? And when it was picked up on, I think that the manner in which it was raised led to what was perceived as a haughty response from the government side, but what was also a response that was lacking in detail, which could have fended off and avoided this whole misperception, misconstruing, and exacerbation of the conversation regarding something in fact that could be good for the government, Shivago. That's the ultimate point right there.
Yeah.
The acquisition of the aircraft could aid very well. As you know, you served in government. And in particular, you were very active between you can hear me, Shivago?
Yeah, man, I'm listening to you.
You were very active as a minister of state for finance and as a blue-eyed boy, in particular, of the then prime minister, Stuart Ingram, but you were also very active as a minister of youth sports and culture, and you would have seen a lot around the cabinet table. And I believe if the government, instead of taking the response that was taken in parliament, I believe if the government had just seek to provide a justification of what level, similar to what Alkidas did with moving away from purchasing vehicles to leasing vehicles, showing the cost benefit analysis, showing what the actual cost is and what the benefit.
But even him did it only after the fact, though, after the controversy came.
I don't disagree. We need to be more proactive. That's pretty much what I said when I explained that. We would have taken it for granted, except a keen-eyed individual from the opposition side picked up on it and brought it to the bottom. But I think that we need to review our approach and seek to be more comprehensive in terms of the educational aspect, so that it would, similar to what Hubert Ingram just did recently, Shivago. He just did it.
Here's the thing, Anton, because I gotta run to the break, right? But here's the thing. I mean, the reality is this isn't even, because, you know, not you, but there are people who look at this in terms of FNM, PLP, and so forth. And this isn't even about that. This is about the way you come across and the way you do handle the people's business can build a trust that helps you get the cooperation of the Bahamian people for the business of governance.
Right, so that if anything comes up against you, the people knows where your heart are, knows where your heart is, and the people understand what you're trying to accomplish, and they would stand with you. Anyway, Shivago, thank you for engaging. Yeah. God bless. Yeah. And like I said, Shivago, your political mentor just established and displayed exactly what I'm talking about, which is why he had the leaders in the medical field, including the surgeon who performed the surgery on him, call a press conference to explain to the Bahamian people exactly what is going on with them, so that there can be no misinformation form that could derail the facts or the truth. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Anton. I appreciate it. This text is, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I'm enjoying the show. As always, it is very good and informative. I think the government don't care about how people feel or react to these things. They are going to do it anyway. The word purchase was used now. It switched to refurbishment of a confiscated aircraft. That, to me, was something that was resorted to after the cat came out of the bag. I am sure Anton can explain everything. Blessings. We're going to take a break for news, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
A neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Babe! The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
attention, all Dunkin' lovers.
Are you ready to fly away this summer? Dunkin' has an irresistible offer just for you. During the month of June, every purchase of a dozen donuts at Dunkin' enters you for a chance to win big in the Father's Day flyaway. Two lucky winners will jet off on Bahamas Air with round-trip tickets to any Bahamas Air destination. Dads flying on Bahamas Air on Father's Day receive a special Dunkin' treat. Visit Dunkin' today and enter to win in the Father's Day flyaway. The Bahamas flies on Dunkin'.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power, major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust you are well and continue to be well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You could text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. We were talking about the aircraft again, treating it more from the perspective now of a confiscated asset since new information has come to our attention that this is the source of the aircraft to be repurposed for some $2.5 million. This text says, good afternoon. Integrity must mean something. I do not believe it is appropriate for a prime minister and government officials to be flying around in a plane used by drug dealers. Okay. All right. I mean, I don't, that's like saying, I don't believe you should take the proceeds of crime and use it to help drug dealers, to help drug users to maybe help young people avoid drugs. I don't know. It's at the end of the day, it's a plane. It's an aircraft. It didn't do anything wrong. It was used for doing something wrong. The aircraft is amoral. So I'm not sure I share that view. Right? If you're going to use it for a good purpose, now maybe flying the government officials around, maybe that's not the purpose for that particular aircraft. Maybe if the police were using it to fight crime, et cetera, and to transport criminals and what have you, I could see that. This text says, last day, ask some of your callers if they lose sleep. Some of them are too emotional, especially some of your man callers. Wisdom, woman. Why? What's wrong with having passion, emotions about something you feel strongly about? Really? That's how we define man and woman in these days. Man, please. Please. Is the person irrational? Is the person illogical? That's a different story. But I get emotional about stuff. Shoot, I'm a human being. Thank God. This text says, there are some very serious unforced errors coming out of the administration. Someone must realize that these things come with a cost eventually, chief of which is the credibility of the government. These translate to market reaction and how important organizations view us. What is so egregious is that the issues not being forthcoming on easy matters to explain on the face of it. That's what it seems like, right? They don't seem very complicated and hard. Like, see, let me tell you something, right? Let me tell you something. And if you're in government, you don't have to listen to me, because I'm just talking. I'm a host of a talk show, so I'm talking, right? There is a natural maintenance, this Chicago line, who functioned as a politician for years talking to you. There is a natural instinct to be cheeky when the opposition asks you a question. And there is a tinge of arrogance about it. There is. You've got the power. You've got the power. You're in control. And who are you to be asking me questions? That is natural. It is an elevated sense of intelligence, an elevated sense of statesmanship to acknowledge that they, representing the people they represent, are owed an explanation for things having to do with the public business. But that cheekiness, let me tell you something, boy, I promise you, you will remember that cheekiness. You'll remember it at a certain time in life. I promise you. Don't listen, man. I'm with the greatest respect to all of you in government. I'm deadly serious, especially those of you who are young. Some of you are talented, you are gifted, you are great, you have good potential, you have good oratory skills on both the women and men side. Okay, I'm telling you, I see in some of them some great talent. Boy, you all don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. That cheekiness and that haughtiness and that braggadociousness and that coming across as if, oh, we got this all together and the people ain't listening to them, stay right there. You ain't gonna listen to me. I win twice and lose twice. I know both sides of the coin. I know how to win. I know how to lose. I know what winning feels like. I know what losing feels like. I know how winning comes at you when you thinking everything is all right. And I know how it comes at you when you know it ain't all right. That's all I'm saying. Avoid that cheekiness, man. You sitting in a parliament thinking you're putting on a show for your colleagues and they're applauding you and slamming on the table and you think you're doing okay? Boy, let me tell you, that's not your audience. Your audience are the voters of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And while your supporters are your audience, they alone cannot get you where you are. They cannot return you there. Not alone. There's always floaters. There's always independent people. There's always some people from the other side who have to be there to get you where you are. But you stay cheeky. You stay cheeky and don't listen to them. You sit in that parliament, stand in that parliament, and shoot off your mouth. Like it don't make no difference. Yeah, you got it all together. Yes, everything's gone all right. Let me tell y'all something. It ain't gonna be about all the time what the opposition does, you know. In the history of our country in recent times, I do not believe that oppositions made themselves win. I believe they contributed to their win. I really do. They had to have contributed to the win. But I believe in many instances, the government contributed to their own loss. I believe that. But that's just my 4 cents of the whole dollar that's being distributed in the political environment in the country. My 4 cents. This text says, Mr. Lang, the government behavior is not surprising. Their lack of transparency and dishonesty will cost them in 2026. Anton was correct about his analysis. You can't fool the Amos no more. They have become sharper and lack patience. They can't wait to vote this government out. Right? Okie dokie. I'm not I'm not saying what is going to happen. I'm not there, but I'm just saying that people that there's something you can do. See, you can't control how people respond and react to what you do, but you can control what you do to at the very least be able to say that it is not me that is contributing to why people and how people are responding to what I am doing, because I'm being respectful, I'm being, as informative as I can be, and so forth and so forth. Now, let me just say, even when you do the right thing, people can come down on you, and sometimes people treat you in a way where you feel compelled to deal with them accordingly. In moments, we all men and women in this life, but all I'm saying is, and I watch the parliament, and I know what I see, and I know what I see from what I can compare it to in times past. And I'm saying, be careful. Be careful. You know, some of your younger PLP government officials, let me tell you all something. Watch your prime minister. Watch him. Not in terms of whether he is coming fought fulsomely and proactively to give information. I'm not talking about that, because I think he could do a better job at that. I really do. And I think he needs to take hold of his administration's doing of that. But watch him in terms of his demeanor. Watch him in terms of his comportment. Watch him in terms of his delivery. He is not yours, some of you. Not. I'm not saying all of you. He is not some of you. But you should watch him. It might be helpful to you to watch him. Because take it from someone who, I have no doubt that one of the things that people about me when I was in office was they thought that I was arrogant. That's what they said. Now, let me be honest with you. I do not believe that I'm an arrogant person at all. I do not believe I'm better than anybody. I don't think I know everything on planet. I know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff I studied. I know that's true. But here's what is true. If you do not give people the sense that you are hearing them, and if you act as if the situation on the ground is not a situation that is real, even though people are feeling it that way, then you can come across to them as arrogant, right? And so and you pay a price for it, right? Now, let me tell you the one thing about me that makes me, and I have tried to adjust my ways in this regard, because I understand what it meant for people. It wasn't about me. You could be thinking you're the most authentic person, you're thinking you're not doing any harm, but you are if people are walking away from a dialogue with you, feeling like you ain't listening, or like you just kind of bulldozing them with, and so forth and so forth. That could happen. Now, before some of y'all text me and start irritating me, let me explain something to you. What I just said has nothing to do with people who text my show, speaking about things they know nothing about or little about, and trying to talk over me or talk through me or trying to get me to agree with them on things they are unfactual about, and then trying to bulldoze their way to me about things I know. I am going to shut you down in a hurry, and I don't apologize for that. But I certainly do not want, and none of us should want, to have conversations with people where we try to make them feel bad by simply just being arrogant and argumentative. Let me tell you all how serious it is for me. I went to friends back in university, and if they are listening, they could text in and tell you all this. I did this, and I asked them, was I an argumentative person? Was I a disagreeable person? Was I a arrogant person? And I couldn't find one who said so. But I did find those who said, but Shivagi, here's the thing. You are the kind of person, if you take up an argument with you, you want to see the argument to the end and hear everybody interested in that. And that's true. You get with me in an argument, I try to settle it. That's why you're wasting my time. Right? So all I'm saying is, if you're in government, yeah, I take my advice. Be careful. I done lost twice and I win twice. Ah, boy. And that's for the younger ones. See, you know, you can't be mining people like Minister Mitchell and them. Minister Mitchell and them are seasoned people who are known quantities, and people have decided on them whether they love them or don't love them or what they can do with them or not do with them. You young and inexperienced have just come. People ain't make their mind up about you yet, but they're making their mind up about you based on your behavior, based on your conduct. Glenys Annamart is a known quantity, established quantity, highly regarded and highly respected in the public of the Bahamas by both FNMs and PLPs. Glenys Annamart is not easy as a politician. For instance, she knows how to be absolutely sharp partisanly when she's ready. But she also knows how to rise to the occasion of statesmanship and so forth. And for that, she has a unique place of stability in the political realm. You pick up and learn some things from these folk. You see, let me give you an example. And I don't mind calling names, and I, you know, but you get mad at me if you want. Pia Glover role, I think, oftentimes has a very good disposition and demeanor when she is doing her public business. Very good. Very good. And I think that she has a great and long future in politics, if she wants it. If she wants it, I really do. Right? And she's not alone. There are others. I'm just calling her name because I have had more interactions with her and I've been observing as she conducts herself. Right? And so all of us could learn to be better and do better at the things we do. That's all I'm saying. And learn and listen, because if you're trying to get there again, you're coming back to people to get there. Boy. You have some text here. Let me go read this for you. This says, okay, so the law is written to allow the PM on every committee and authority to appoint like-minded persons to those committees. The system will work to the people's benefit as long as you have a transparent person in the seat. That aside, we need to know how much it costs to fly 7 people to Anagua twice a week for 1 year, inclusive of repairs and servicing. Yeah. You should know what it costs anyways. And, you know, so it says, but Anton's characterization isn't wholly correct. The only thing that would put aside the concern on this plane is a demonstration that it makes financial sense. I agree with that 100%. Shivago, my fuel surcharge has skyrocketed in my last bill. My actual electric bill is around $180, but the fuel surcharge is over $200, giving me a $400 bill. I am very upset. See, that's what he said. Yeah. Yeah. And see, this is the backdrop sometimes of the politics and public policy decisions being made, and that causes people some kind of angst in respect of how things go. This text is Chicago. Oh, I read that already. Say, afternoon, just got a text from Florida. The whole USA auto system has been hacked. Wow. And you sure that is true? You know, I don't know, you know, because sometimes things and it is not confirmed things. So we'll see how that plays out. So in the end, I do not believe that there is any authorization issues with respect to using a confiscated aircraft for some government purpose. I mean, after all, and even the aircraft in the possession of the police force and the defense force, dedicated as they are for the business of the police force and defense force, have been used by successive administrations for transporting government officials. So, you know, getting one dedicated to that purpose can represent any breach of authority as far as I can tell. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. Pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus 1 together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy 2 adults and 3 children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus 1. Restrictions apply.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
And gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. This text says, I have also seen a substantial increase in my light bill. I thought the Prime Minister said bills would decrease. Now, you know, the Prime Minister said the bills would decrease next month. He said, so look at your bill next month. Now, let me tell you all what happened when I heard the PM say that bills would go down in any event. Think about this for a moment. In February, the Prime Minister had held BPA from raising the rate, the electricity rate, right? And passing on the fuel surcharge. He said because people were having a tough time. And then in February, it was agreed to have it done. So remember that the Prime Minister announced, and it happened, that there would be several increases in your fuel rate. And there were. So when now your rate starts to go down, because even at that time, it was announced that in 12 to 18 months, this would be the increase would be done. And then thereafter, you should start seeing a reduction in your bill. Well, you are at that period now. So But the reduction in your bill isn't a reduction from the rate prior to February. It's from the increases you got since February. So that really you only see a genuine decrease in your bill if you get a rate that's lower than it was in February or before February. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, you're going to take the relief because now all the increases are being clawed back some, but you don't really have a decrease unless you have of the rate you had before you had the increases, is the point that I made, right? And but he did say not until July. He said July, not this month. He said, he said expressly, check your bill in July. Now, let me show you how compounding the government's approach to information sharing is to its injury, right? So we have the airplane, no mention of it. And then, but now the prime minister, the leader of the opposition got up in the House of Assembly and said, that the government says that Bahamians can do anything and so forth, yet the government is going to have 80% of Chinese people build a hospital because the China Exim Bank is funding it. The government quickly got up and rebuffed that and said it will not be 80%. The leader of the opposition rightly said ordinarily, that when the China Exim Bank lends money out, it has 80% of the labor on the project being Chinese. Well, firstly, let me say something. He's correct to the extent that there is often a majority labor component from the Chinese state. That is true. That was true for Bahama. It was true on the road project. So that's generally the case, right? But I don't know if it's 80%. I don't know if 80% is the standard. I don't know if that's the standard. It could be. I don't know that, but it's certainly a majority. Here's what is true, though. So notwithstanding the government saying to the opposition, it will not be 80%, when asked what percent it will be, the prime minister refused to say so. Think about that for a moment. Clearly, you know what the percentage is going to be. And so, otherwise, you couldn't say it's not 80%. Because if you don't know what it is, you don't know that it's not 80%. So since you know it's not 80%, you know what it is. But why in that moment be unwilling to say what it is? Clearly, you are uncomfortable, even with less than 80%, with what it is. And why would you be uncomfortable? You'd be uncomfortable because it's a majority, which is not unusual, which is expected, which is just how the thing works. You want my money? You can get my people, and my people can be the majority on the project. That's how it works, right? But here again, what is left in the minds of Bahamians is, okay, another, you're not going to say why. See, isn't there more injury by being coy and not saying than saying, you know what? You're right. This is how the bank works. And it's a good loan. The concessionary funding and interest rate is excellent. For that, you know what happens. We use a lot of Chinese material. We use a lot of Chinese labor. And in this instance, the labor be 60, 70% Chinese to Bahamian. But why would that bother me? I know it would bother some of y'all, but why would it bother me? You don't get the money. You don't get a hospital. You don't get any labor. You don't even get the 30%. So this is life. You give something to get something. Right, you go borrow the bank money. The bank says to you, you think the bank only says you pay me back in 20 years at $1,000 a month. No, the bank says to you, I'm going to collect the majority, for the first half of your 20 years, I'm going to collect mostly interest so that your principal is really only paid back so that you can pay me double or if not more, what you can borrow from me. And you, are you mad because the people I'm sending Chinese, yeah? this is how life works when you're the beggar. Nah, when you're the borrower. Doesn't the Bible say the borrower shall be servant to the lender? This is how life works. If you don't need the people money, then don't go get it. Go get your own money. Right? But again, being coy, being unwilling to be forthcoming, it comes across as, is this public business or not? And so people then start to, again, heap disrepute on your efforts and on you, right? Not that that's what you want, and that's not, and it may not be what you are intending, but that's what's happening because of this approach. And I do think it needs to change. I mean, obviously the government is doing things. Obviously the government is doing things it believes is in the public interest. Be forthcoming, don't let it dribble and travel out in ways that then make you have to come behind and try to clean up life. And listen to me. When you have a healthy media department, and I'm talking by healthy, I mean with lots of talent in it, lots. The government is spending a lot of money on media staff. This isn't necessary, some would say. This text says, CDK Global, a major software provider to auto dealers in the U.S., has been hacked, forcing the company to shut down most of its systems temporarily. This cyber attack effectively halted sales operations at approximately 15,000 car dealerships, including those under General Motors, Group One Automotive, and Holman. They shut down to stop a possible spread of or harm across the wide area network that services these dealerships' back office, seemingly the standard in this region. Some other regions, this is a different matter now, says this text saying seemingly the standard in this region. Some other regions, it is 90%, 100%, but in some countries, it is as low as 60%. May go lower in some countries with stronger economies. Yeah, but whatever the ratio is, the government isn't comfortable saying what it is right now. Mind you, it can come back and say it, little lady, you know. If the firestorm rises, then it will. And says this government needs to sing with the same tune because Dr. Davis came behind the prime minister and said the same thing, 80%, 20%, Dr. Davis. Who's Dr. David? Not sure who that is. Well, yeah, here's the thing, right? Whether it's 80%, 70%, it is not going to be a majority Bahamian to Chinese labor. It is not. It is a condition. Listen, why would a Chinese bank? China got millions and millions of people who need job and need work. Millions and millions who probably ain't work. Millions and millions of poor people, right? Why do you think the China bank, Exim Bank, would lend out money to other territories? Why they don't plow that money in China so that they can just use the money in China and put some of them people to work? Because this is a way for them to export their material and export labor so that they can put their people to work and put their products to work. It's their money, right? So it's a win-win. You get a cheaper concessionary loan. They get to employ their people, large numbers of people, and their products get to be exported, right? That's the deal. That's how it works. And the government wasn't blind or not knowing when it went to go get the money from the bike. It knows how this works. We done been through this. I mean, listen, man, we done build Bahama. We done build roads using Chinese money. What? You know the shipyard in Freeport? When the shipyard came to the Bahamas, the shipyard said, listen, the way we organize our labor for cost and expertise purposes, we are going to need 70% of that workforce plus to be foreign. And that's what it is today. These people come in, they do what they have to do on them ships, and they go back to Eastern Europe. Most of them, that's where they're from. Some from Jamaica now, right? So we have to put on our big boy pants and understand that we are operating in a world where we need others and therefore may be subject to the terms of their others. And I know that offends some of your behaviors because you refuse to believe that you are not our house you think you are in some respects. But not, who is? Everybody's subject to somebody. Everybody subject to somebody. Everybody. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shabaga Lange, your host. We're going to take our final break after this break.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. This text says, Lang, when will JoBeth Colby Davis answer Pintar? She said after the convention it gone, but she hasn't answered him yet. She is a joker. I recalled her jibing Ms. Pintar on that occasion. Yeah. This text is lying. I understand JoBeth don't know what's going on with BPL. That's why she can't answer Pintar. I don't know what she knows. But I can tell you one thing. The business around that deal is a business that the business people know. I can tell you all that. All right? That's no politics. That's business you're talking there. This text says, cyber attack on dealership is correct. Yeah, we got that information. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Do you have any information on Mr. Bell's claim about the former government selling shares at NIB? I didn't see anything in the papers about it. First of all, let me say, I don't know. I didn't hear Mr. Bell's comments, but I don't even know why that's an issue. I don't even know why that would be an issue. So first of all, he could not be talking about the government selling NIB because NIB is not an entity with shares that the government or anybody could buy and sell. NIB is a creature of law, right? So the NIB continues to be wholly owned by the state, okay? So that's the first thing. Secondly, prior to the Christie administration, NIB by law could not invest in foreign assets. Could not. Why? Because in the conservative nature of social services funds, you try to avoid any investments that are speculative or that could be too risky, etc. And so there was a view by the government that NIB should not bother with anything outside of the state. There were those who believed that was a mistake because there were foreign opportunities, whether investing in foreign government bonds or the like, that meant that NIB couldn't get that better revenue. So there were some private souls who convinced the Christie administration that this should happen, and that in fact is what happened. So there was, they took a portion of NIB's funds. I think they allocated it to some of the investment houses, and the investment houses invested those funds in foreign assets, in foreign shares. Okay, there was never any loss to NIB, et cetera. And so I don't think there was any reason to divest from, and that's what Mr. Bell is talking about. He's not talking about selling NIB shares. He's talking about NIB. He's talking about the government taking a policy decision to reverse the decision made by the Christie administration to allow NIB to invest in foreign assets. That's what happened. And then once they took that decision, NIB then had to divest itself of those assets by selling whatever shares or bonds they held in foreign entities. All right. So it was only a policy shift. It was a shift that was a position that was held by the Pinning administration, by the Ingram administration. It was changed in the Christie administration. And all that happened was the Minnis administration reversed it. All right. So to try to put this across as some nebulous, malicious anything, it was just a policy shift. All right. And the amount of NIB shares that were invested abroad didn't amount to more than 10% of NIB's money. 10%, not more than 10%. So it didn't hurt anything to do it. You know, some people might say, but it harmed some people to the extent that, you know, some of the investment companies that were managing those funds, then they don't get that revenue. And then they might argue that maybe there was some gains to be had from holding those shares that you don't get now. But that even ain't a storm in a teacup. That's tea in a teacup. That's all that was, right? But if you say it a certain way and you try to make it sound bad, then, you know, maybe that's how some people take it. But it's not a big deal at all. Can I say it again? It's not a big deal at all. It didn't affect NIB in any material way. Anyway. The decision to invest outside didn't in any significant way affect NIB, and the decision to divest didn't affect it in any significant way. But in politics, you make your case. And that's what I think the minister making his case. We have some text here. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Yes.
This is not precedent to me. Like this plane situation, this is not new. 35 years ago, Prime Minister Pinlin bought a key here. And had it redone for about $500,000 or $2 million. The FNM tried to do the same thing, freak out. But the government thought
the FNM purchased a what?
The Pinlin bought a king here about 25 years ago.
I talked about this was in you. So what would you? You said the FNM did what?
Freak out the same thing they're doing now. Try to score cheap points. But the Prime Minister bought the plane and they used the plane to travel and whatever the government used it. Big corporate. It's a nice plane. It could travel high. It was a pressurized plane. It's a nice plane for the government to use. Right. Government have planes and helicopters to make up for three or four helicopters and planes.
All right. Thank you for calling, man. Appreciate it. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Say another caller.
Yeah, what's the line?
Hi. Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. A caller just now. It's about purchasing the plane. It's about letting us know where the plane came from. You understand? Right. Giving us transparency, letting us know exactly. Like the police took the plane from somebody, all of this type of stuff. They were just saying that they were trying to purchase a plane for that 2.5 or whatever the amount of money was, and we're not being transparent. So there's nothing wrong with purchasing a plane. It's just letting us know where the plane came from. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your call. This text says, Mr. Brave Davis' voice on radio starting to sound a lot like Minister Lane. Oh my God, y'all are so wicked. This text said, blessed day. I like how you explain things to some of these difficult and technical people, but no matter what you say, they still get a theory old-fashioned. Okay. This text says, Mr. Lang, regarding Keith Bell, when he gets up to speak, I'm sorry, I simply ignore him. The man often speaks such nonsense, like when he said the Newport was a bad idea and his colleague Chester Cooper came right back and said such was nonsense. The port is very good for the Bahamas. Okay. This text says, Bell is saying these shares just recently went up in value, so we could have made a bundle of money. There was no loss in value. In fact, NIB made a profit between the time NIB bought and eventually sold. It was tea poured by Bell and missing the cup. Well, you could pick any day dealing with shares, and on one day you look good and on another day you look bad. That's why Warren Buffett always says, you know, investors invest for the long haul. They don't do day trading, right? So you can't pick a day and say, oh, they're going up in value. Check the stock value. Over the period it was being held. Some days maybe it went down, some days it went up. We don't do life like that. In fact, why should an NIB fund be in that business? of looking to see what a stock is doing every day, and you're trying to make sure that you have money to pay people their bills. That's not good social safety net investing, man. I mean, of course, I respect the people who invest these things, and they would look to manage the fund properly and so forth. So, but yeah, it ain't no big deal. It ain't. See, it's a blatant attempt to frustrate the opposition. Mr. Davis said he had the answer to the ratio of workers, but that he would not say at the time. The tension in the House seemed high at the time, with one side wanting to obtain information and the other side wanting to withhold it. Yeah, yeah. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's happening?
Right here, man. How are you?
Everything good? No. Hey, listen, me personally, I honestly believe the Bahamas government should have an airplane. Because it's not Brave plane, it won't be Pentad plane, it'll belong to the Bahamas government. So me personally, I do believe that they do should have a plane, just like I do believe they should have a nice vehicle. A couple of issues is, number one, the timing. Then also, number two, the issue with this government, everything always seems so sneaky. It's always some kind of backdoor, always seems, or it appears that there's some kind of unhand or some kind of sneaky business going on. You understand what I mean?
Right.
This situation, just like the BMW, it was a clear-cut situation. But the way they handle things, they frustrate and they cause people to put a question mark on top of what they're doing, what they're saying. That's why it's almost impossible to trust this government, what they do and what they say. The BMW people have to question everything they do and everything they say, because there's always, it seems, as if there's an ulterior motive.
I got you, brother. Appreciate you calling. Someone sent me an x-ray from an article from the Nassau Guardian that says the National Insurance Board has started the process of identifying which of its foreign assets it will offload as a part of acute austerity measures being taken to safeguard foreign reserves. Okay, listen. You hear what Mr. Bell said, but listen. The Central Bank of the Bahamas requested the NIB that NIB liquidate some of its external investments and bring the proceeds back onshore as one of the measures toward protecting and increasing reserve levels amid the periling economic crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. NIB Director Dr. Nicola Virgil-Roll said the board is now determining how it can best meet the mandate without putting a strain on the fund's resources. In this time, we look at what's necessary for liquidity, as well as some of our U.S. portfolio are some of our lowest. Listen. Says our U.S. portfolio are some of our low in terms of interest rates and earning capacity. So we have looked at a strategy, how we answer that mandate in a way that the best approach for the National Insurance Board, she said. And so we're working with the central bank. So now you blame the government, but it was NIB, it was the central bank who was asking the board to do this. And the government don't tell the central bank what to do. If the government won't tell the central bank what to do, it has to go to parliament and pass a law. This text is Mr. Lang. They only advised us where the plane came from when person started saying the facts on radio, then the government stopped being secretive and had to come out with the facts. No one minds the purchase of the plane. Stop thinking we dumb and tell us the truth, outgoing government. Yeah, I think there are people who have issues with the purchase of the plane, but I do think that the more people have been challenged by the manner in which the matter came about. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. God bless you, or he spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.